Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Now, I'm going to ask you to open that Bible to the very beginning, to the third page, to the book of Genesis. Now, my message for this morning, we are just going to go through the first 15 verses. I scared some of you there. The first 15 verses of chapter 3 found on page 3. Now, we have a theme for the year. Shine in 2019. And what we're going to do here on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings for the 52 weeks throughout 2019, we're going to go from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. We're going to cover the entire Bible and all the major events in 52 weeks. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to miss it. Now, last week, we began the year with Let There Be Light, the creation story. And I'd like to just quickly cover that with you. In the beginning was God, and He created the world. Oh, did you hear the one about the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on the first day. Jesus came into the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit, and He said, I have just created a 24-hour period separated by light and darkness. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, that's really wonderful. What are you going to call it? And about that moment, the Father walked in and He said, you know, I'm tired. Let's just call it a day. I tell that story because in the beginning it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who created on the first day light. Okay? On the second day sky, what separates the world from any other planet in our solar system is we have an atmosphere. On the third day, God created land, sea, and vegetation as we know it. On the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and stars. Why? So we could navigate the earth, the universe, and so we could mark time, a month, a year, a century. We would know our wife's birthday. Okay? Yeah. On the fifth day, God created the birds, and He created the fish of the sea. Anything under the water and flies above. Isn't it amazing how fish, have you seen them in a school, how they move, and a flock of birds, how they move? Isn't it amazing? A bird flies, it will walk, and it'll swim underwater or fly underwater. Fish, not all fish, and not all birds swim, but fish swim, they fly, and they walk on the ground. Certain fish can do that. It's pretty amazing. On the fifth day, God created all the living creatures on earth that move, and the cream of the crop, the best of the best, man and woman. And what separates us from the animal world, God created us, man and woman, in His image. Listen to the words of God. Let us, who's that? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, male and female. He created them. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? You are triune. If you're here this morning, you are in the image of God. That means you have a body, a soul, and a mind. What separates you from the animal world, you have a soul. They have minds, they have bodies, they don't have souls. And with our soul, we can communicate with God. Another way we are created in the image of God, we have dominion over the earth, and we rule over it. Now, in the second chapter of Genesis, God tells us how He created man, formed the dust or the dirt of the ground together, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. How was woman created? Adam was put to sleep. God took a rib out and made a woman, and brought the two together, and they were married. Now, they were placed in the Garden of Eden. And in the garden, God said, listen, eat whatever you want. I shared that with the object lesson. But there are two special trees in the garden. One is the tree of life. You can eat from it. But there's this tree that I don't want you to eat from. It is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of it, you will die, God says. Now, you might ask, why did God put that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? Because he loved Adam and Eve. He didn't make puppets. He didn't force them to love him. He gave a gift called the freedom of the will. We can choose to obey God or not. And every one of you here, including I, we have that gift. And soon after God created the world, Adam and Eve fell from God's grace. They disobeyed God. But before I speak about that, I want to tell you about the fall before Adam and Eve. You see, when God created the world, and before the fall of Adam and Eve, a fall took place before that. God created the visible world and the invisible world. What's the invisible world? It's the angels. God created angels to help mankind, to benefit mankind. And we're told in the Bible that before the fall of Adam and Eve, Lucifer, an angel, fell from grace. He wanted to be like God, and his pride got to him, and he became a liar, and God threw him out of heaven. And from the creation of the world to the end of the world, the devil and his angels roamed the face of the earth, seeking someone to devour through temptation. That's the work of the devil. And humanity has to fight that. There's enmity between now an angel that is supposed to help us to an angel who now wants to hurt us. Now, at the end of times, the end of the world, the devil will be shut up and his angels and anybody who wants to follow him in hell forever. But in the meantime, we live with the fall of Adam and Eve, and it affects all of us. Let's pick up the story, but let's pray first. Bow your heads with me. Father, please, as we look at the fall of Adam and Eve, may we see ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Chapter 3, let's pick up the story. When this fallen angel finally meets up with mankind, Adam and Eve. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Now this angel took on the form of a snake, Lucifer, the devil, that ancient serpent. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" You see what he's trying to do here? Create doubt. The first scheme of the devil, temptation of the devil, is doubt. Did God really say that? And let me tell you, he does it to you and to me every day of our life. Did your boss really say, don't cheat? Did your spouse really say, don't commit adultery? Okay. Did God really say, don't steal, control your tongue? Did God really say, don't covet anything? Did that speed sign really say 65 miles an hour? Oh, yeah. Creating doubt. That's the first thing the devil does. He does it with Adam and Eve. Let's see how the woman responds. Verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, "You may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden." Excuse me. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of any fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Now, God did say, don't eat of that tree, but he never said anything about touching it and you'll die. That's a rule that Eve added to it. You know, in our human sinful nature, we love to add rules. We like to make a lot of rules. I don't know about you, I have trouble with 10. Now, when Jesus walked on earth, you know how many the Pharisees had? 613. And they loved to condemn Jesus for their man-made rules. And Jesus would break those, but he always kept the Ten Commandments. Well, here we see Eve adding rules, but that's not the point of this story. Let's pick it up. So, yes, Eve knew the Bible, God's command, don't eat from it. Now notice what the devil does the second thing. But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." What does the devil do? He lies to Adam and to Eve. He contradicts the command of God, the word of God. How do you know the devil is tempting you? He'll lie to you and contradict the Word of God. He'll say to you, you will not get caught. You will not get fired. Your spouse will not find out about your adultery. Nobody will ever find out what you look at on the internet. Nobody will know that you have stolen money. You'll never get caught speeding. You see, the first thing the devil does is create doubt. Do we really have laws and rules we need to follow? The second thing, he'll outright lie to you. And then the third thing the devil does, let's pick it up, verse 5. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. If you do this wrong thing, it'll benefit you. You'll profit from it. Okay? If you steal, you're going to have more money. If you curse and swear, you're going to get your way. If you speed, you're going to get there faster. Okay? If you commit adultery, oh, you're going to have so much more. He says that through this sin, you're going to benefit. And that was what is called a false promise. So he creates doubt. He'll lie to you, and he'll give you a false promise that you'll benefit from the sin. Listen to these words. So when the woman, verse 6, saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was delight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, every man in this room reads it like this. Eve took that fruit, bent poor Adam's arm behind his back, and yanked, and when he yelled, ouch, she shoved it in his mouth. But that's not how it happened, Flavian. Okay? No. He was right there. Oh, yeah, give me some of that. Okay? And they both ate of it. Now we are going to go what is called the consequences of sin. Something happens when you break God's command, when you turn from the light of God. This is what happens. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This didn't benefit them. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloth. The first outcome of sin is shame. Have you ever done something wrong and were ashamed of it? If on these big screens up here, we could list your name and all the sins you've ever committed in high school, in college, and your name was associated with that, I'll guarantee you, you would be ashamed. The first consequence of sin is shame. And Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves, tried to cover themselves. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, God is light. The source of all light is God. That's why light was created on the first day and the sun created on the fourth day. So we would know the source of all light. And so they hid from the light. My message today is like hiding from the light. Adam and Eve's sin will cause you to hide from the light. We see it with Adam and Eve. They now hid among the trees in the garden. Why would they hide? If you feel ashamed of your sin, the next thing you're going to do is try to hide from it. Yeah. Let's take a look at what happens. Verse 9. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? He didn't send a lightning bolt to zap him. He just called out to him, where are you? Let me tell you what God does to each and every one of us. He finds us and he calls out to us. Where are you? Are you hiding? This is all God wants from us. To step out of the darkness into the light and say, I'm sorry. I blew it. That's what God wants. That's the mature response. But yet, let's take a look at what we do so often as Adam and Eve did. Verse 10. And he said, that is Adam, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid. See, fear is a consequence of sin. Oh, what if somebody finds out? Oh, what if my boss, my spouse, what if somebody else knows about what I do? Oh, I was afraid because I was naked and I hid. I was ashamed and I hid from your light. He said, who told you that you were naked? Here, God says for the second time, step forward. Tell me what you've done. Who told you you were naked? And we know that Adam is still in the darkness. Why? Because of his response. Listen, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Verse 12, Adam said, the woman you gave to me with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate it. Listen, this is what he says. The woman you gave me, I didn't ask for her. You put me to sleep. You took my rib. I want it back right now. You. He blames God. Have you ever complained about your spouse, your children, your job, your life? You know who you're really complaining to? God, who gave you everything you have. The woman you gave me, he wasn't very thankful. Now, Eve, how did she? You know, first of all, they were ashamed. Second of all, they were afraid. This is called the blame game. Blame everybody but yourself. That's how you know you're in the darkness. Listen to what Eve says. The man said, the woman you gave me, verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? Just confess. Step into the light. Tell me what you've done. Please, be mature. What does she say? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. It's the boss's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's the world's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the president's fault. It's everybody's fault except mine. I do nothing wrong. You're still in the darkness if you think that way. Now, before God punishes Adam and Eve, he looks at the devil and gives him his due. But to Adam and Eve, he makes a promise. Someday in the future, Adam and Eve will give birth to a son, a seed, and he's going to take care of this whole problem of darkness and sin. Jesus came to take care of sin, death, and the power of the devil. And here's God's promise in the future and good news for us here, because we're just like Adam and Eve. Here it is. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above the livestock and above the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. Meaning, nobody's going to like you. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Meaning, we'll always be fighting against the devil. There's an enmity between us. We're always going to have that strife. Now, this devil, this angel who's supposed to help us is trying to hurt us and devour us. Okay? And then he says, he shall bruise your head. That's Jesus talking about Jesus. And you will manage to bruise his heel. Now, this goes on, and God says to Eve, you'll have to endure pain in childbearing. Ladies, if you've ever given birth and it hurt, you can thank Eve. And to the man, Adam, he says, now listen, from now on, you got to work for a living. And by the sweat of the brow, you'll eat. Guys, if you know why you have to work or anybody has to work to eat, you can thank Adam for that. And then God displaced them. Told them they had to leave the Garden of Eden and forbid them from themselves by their own works, walking up and eating from the tree of life and living forever. He put a flaming sword with a cherubim. Now, God did not destroy, you might say, the tree of life or paradise. He just moved it to the end of times. There is still a paradise and there is still a tree of life, but we just can't on our own approach it. It is only by grace through faith that we can receive it. God brings the tree of life to us. That's the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we literally partake of the tree of life. Paradise is when we pass away and Jesus says to each and every one of us, I'll come to take you to be where I am. Until then, what we need to know, what we need to take home with us this morning, this is what's important for you. Two things. Number one, know how the devil operates in your life today. The first thing he's going to do is create doubt. Is there a God? Is there a Lord and Savior? Do you really need one? Do you need to be reconciled to him? Is there really right from wrong? Do we need to follow the Ten Commandments? Do we really need to remember the Sabbath day? Now, the second thing the devil does, and we need to, he'll outright lie to you. There is no God. There are no commandments. You're on your own. You don't ever have to worry about confessing your sin. And the third thing he's going to do is make all kinds of promises to you. You're on your own. You're going to make it. If there's a heaven, you're going to make it on your own. And he just keeps lying and lying to you. You'll never get caught. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. You don't need God. Know how the devil works. And this is the second thing I want you to take home and apply to your life. If you ever sin, if you ever break one of God's commandments, if you ever do anything that all of a sudden you know you're hiding from God, you're ashamed, and you find yourself lying about it, don't hide from it. Step into the light. Because Jesus is the light and he wants to forgive you. How do you know if you're in the light? If you're running from God, hiding from God. You know why people don't break down the doors of churches on Sunday mornings? Because they're really hiding. They've hook, line, and sinker bought into the lie, there really is no God. I don't need a Savior. This is what I ask you to do. Say the most powerful words you can ever say before God. You ready? I am sorry. Let me hear you say that. I am sorry. Do you realize that when you say that before the light of God, he forgives you? And if you're a Christian, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, and he forgives you. That's good news. Jesus has already died. And if you've never given your life to the Lord, guess what? You can step into that light and receive the glory of the Lord in your heart. Listen to the words of John. If we say that we have fellowship with the light, yet walk in the darkness, that means you have your sins that you just keep. This is what John says. You're a liar. And you do not produce light. Whew. But then he gives us the good news. You ready? But if we walk in the light, as Jesus is the light, then we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus blots out our sin. That's good news. Jesus is the answer to our sin. He created the world. Adam and Eve fell. But he came into that world to forgive us. Now you know where in traditional services you may hear these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins. That's good news. We need that daily. But listen to the last words he says. But if we say we have no sin, we make Jesus out to be a liar, not the devil. If we say, nope, I didn't commit that sin. If we say, no, I don't sin. Guess what? We make Jesus out to be a liar. Not the devil, Jesus. And his word is not in us. This is all I want you to take home. Know how the devil works and take this home. When you blow it, the most precious words you can ever say to God is, I'm sorry. And to another person, to your spouse, to your boss, to your relatives, I'm sorry. Amen.